bam, and you say, God damn, this is a dope jam. I'm broader than Broadway. Join me, won't you? Yes, I'm broad. Said I'm broader than Broadway. And I'm a diddling myself. And it feels so good. Your sauce will mix with ours and we'll make a good goulash, baby. Oh, yeah. What time is it? It's time for Get Wood with your pal, Jess Wood. Hi, everybody. Hello and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, your favorite day of the week. And if you're not watching this on a Tuesday, it's whatever day it god dang day it is. Hi, before I continue any further into this delightfulness that is a show of an audio diary of the news of the week, of the things and the stories, let's chat about my jewels, shall we? I mean, hello. But these jewelries that I'm wearing today are from the Babes at Babel. Did you even think? Did you know? Did you already see? This is a kitty cat choker. These are the chain link orange. Do you say orange or do you say orange? I feel like some of you in the chat right now say orange and are fighting me. And you know what? I'll fight you. It's okay. It's spelled O-R-A-N-G-E, right? Orange. Orange. It's not spelled A-R-A-N-G. It's not orange, you know? So, you win. Hello, West Coast. Welcome to the show. Anyway, if you would go to the Babes at Babel, that's the Babel Studio, follow them. If you're not following them, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Follow them up, and if you'd like to order some of their goodness and goodies, please order many, many things. They don't just have jewelry. They have housewares. They have horns. I've worn the horns on the show before. But if you would like, on checkout, use GetWood15 for 15% off your order. Bing, bing. Thank you so much. That's the Babes at Babel Studio. That's Babel Studio. You can follow them right on here. If you are local to the Los Angeles area, please follow Urban Baked. Urban Baked LA, fresh, made-to-order baked goods. Sorry, what do we not like about that? Sorry, not sorry. Shout out to Cece and her chickens. What? Bitch, you have to know. Anyways, hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's an exciting day for me today. Why, Jessica? Why? Well, I have, I think, gotten over this mad depression that I've been in. I mean, the play ended, and I just instantly went and got depressed again. And so, I don't know, it's a tough gig to be depressed. You asked, are you depressed right now? Because you seem like you didn't wash your hair. I'm doing this thing now, thanks for asking. I'm doing this thing now where I shower in the nighttime. I never showered in the nighttime before, but I now shower in the night. Okay, I've got a couple more follows for you right now. Peggy Poo, Copasado Wellness, that is her very enlightening, positive. Please follow that for more feelings of goodness in the day. Speaking of which, of my depression, whenever I get to see a wellness post from Peggy, I immediately cheer up because there's tricks of the trade, y'all. If you're feeling bad, there's things we can do. If you're feeling upset, there's things we can change about what we're doing. Maybe you haven't had any food yet today. Are you a little hangry? Maybe you didn't sleep good. Did you need some more sleeping? Listen, stay trueness. Stay true, wellness. Excuse me. I'm holding up a cherry right now because a few things. They're back in season, and God knows I've been waiting for fruit to come back in season. And there's something that lifts the depression a little bit. Have some fresh fruit, will you? Also, I really think of the Witches of Eastwick. Do you think of the Witches of Eastwick when you eat cherries? Because I certainly do. Then I thought, what a great costume for next Halloween. Who could be my other two? You know, and then the dude who's the Jack Nicholson devil character. Anyway, I am thrilled to think of a new Halloween costume. Always. Listen, a snack and a nap. It is. It's toddler wisdom. And if nothing else, Get Wood is toddler wisdom and wisdom about not being able to poo. I have a little fresh fruit there. Now you have a fruit, some apple juice. Okay, let's get on track now. You know, I did something this week, and today, especially at my last minute before the show, I did hit some people up that I love and care for so much and I think are so smart. And I hit them up and I asked them, hey, do you have any, as I ask you every week, do you have any topics that you'd like me to cover on the show? Because I'm very open to getting new topics. Plus, you know, how often can I tell you about my depression? I mean, I guess I can tell you every week, but I don't want to make the whole show about it. Check on your happy friends. Do you know what I'm talking about? So I asked a few folks, and man, did I get some great, and all, the entire spectrum was really dealt with these topics. So first off, let me just say, happy Pride. I don't think no, it wasn't June yet when I was on last week, but as in all the things that we want to celebrate, it's every day. Pride is every day. Women's history is every day. Black Lives Matter is every day. Trans inclusion is every day. Everybody fucking calm yourselves. If you're feeling like you're caca, you matter every day. Do you know what I mean? Don't feel like caca. Anyways, so I have all these great things going on. But first off, happy Pride. And I want to say thank you to everyone who sent me some amazing videos and memes and actually some things to talk about. So thank you. And I will start with Elliot Page. That's right, Elliot Page, who we got introduced to as Ellen, who starred in Juno, which was really, I didn't fucking like that movie at all. Anybody else with me on that movie? I really didn't like that movie at all. And I don't know, is it because I think I'm so hip and I talk really funny and well, and I use references and cutesy McGee things and I pretend to smoke a pipe. I don't pretend to smoke a pipe. And the whole fucking movie, I was watching it and I was going, nobody talks like this. Nobody pretends to smoke a fucking pipe. Diablo Cody, if that's your real name. That was the chick who wrote it. I think I was mad at her too, because everyone in the movie, everyone in the movie business was like, Diablo Cody, oh my God, she's so real. Have you seen her? She has a tattoo. Like, suck my dick. Diablo Cody wrote a memoir before she wrote Juno and was discovered for Juno. She wrote a memoir about being a, or trying to be a stripper in the Midwest where she lived. And I picked up the memoir because I love a good memoir. So I started to read this memoir by Diablo Cody about her being a stripper in the Midwest. Guess what I had to fucking also pick up while I was reading it? A motherfucking dictionary. Fuck you. Fuck you, Diablo Cody. I shouldn't need a dictionary to read about you being a stripper, right? Am I nitpicking here? Because you can tell me if I'm being too choosy about what I want to read about. Anyway, Elliot Page, speaking of reading a book, speaking of reading a biography, I cannot wait to read Page Boy. That is Elliot Page's memoir that just came out. A lot of press around it. Very excited for him. I think he looks spectacular as a boy. You know, some, or in his real skin. That's how you would say it, right? He's always felt like this. So obviously it's very good for him to be comfortable. I mean, that's a thing that I don't understand. Why are we so angry at people for trying to be comfortable? Do you know? Because it makes us uncomfortable. I know. We're such egomaniacs, though. And let me say something. This also applies to the older people in our life, especially in America. You know, when people get old, we put them away. We lock them away. We throw them to the side. I don't want to fucking look at no old motherfucker. Do you know what I mean? It's like the same things. Like, oh, you don't want to look at someone aging. And this is how they age. This is normal. Same with trans. If they're not in their correct bod, then they've not been feeling like, quote unquote, what you call normal. Then they finally feel good. Let them be, for Christ's sakes. Who are we, the fucking gender police? I mean, I guess we think we are. I mean, some people think they are, but fuck them. So, and also, very handsome. I've done drag before, and I must brag to you right now and tell you, I am very handsome as a boy as well. So, and I know a lot of men who look gorgeous in drag. So everybody calm the fuckhead down. And this had a lot to do with another story that I wanted to talk about in here earlier. Now, this suggestion came from Cece. Chicken Cece. Bark, bark. She sent me the suggestion to talk about Page Boy, Elliot Page's new book. So here I am talking about it. But also leads me to another topic that I was going to talk about anyway. And that is, and it has to do with this, androgyny. Do you remember androgyny? If you're a Gen Xer like myself or an older millennial person, I don't even know if you say older millennial anymore because everyone's a fucking millennial. I look like Luigi from Super Mario Brothers, she says. Okay, so here's the thing, right? When we were coming up in the 80s and everyone was kind of like androgynous, not kind of like, everyone was androgynous. Girls had really short hair. Boys had long hair. Flock of Seagulls. Look it up if you don't know this reference. Prince. My gorgeous hotness. Who didn't want to have sex with Prince? Man and woman. And who didn't he want to have sex with? Man and woman. So Prince, sexy, hot, Madonna. So here's the thing. I have to make a disclaimer right now and say that, like, unfortunately, our culture has been, you know, I know I tell you I listen to Howard Stern and I do, and I don't like to, you know, talk about it too much because his ignorance around, like, oh, she's hot, or what do you look like, or what's your, you know, rating women and all that bullshit, you know, no fat, like all that old bullshit, no old, you know, the ageist, the sexist, the fattest, get the fuck off me. Anyway, being yourself, androgynous. If I've noticed that I'm rather tough, and here goes another, this is another topic that got sent to me, but let's talk about the androgyny. In the 80s, everyone looked like, I don't know, like in the 60s when the old people were like, I don't know, they grow in their hair, I can't tell if they're a man or what, boy or a girl, you got to keep your hair above your ears to be boy. You know what I mean? There are all these rules about everything. And listen, if we can't go way back to the Shakespeareans and the Greeks and everybody, I mean, hi, toga. I have one word for you, toga. Oh God, they're coming for me. You know, when you speak this much truth, friends, they come for you. Or they keep you shadow banned. So androgyny was such a huge thing, and it wasn't looked at like such a messy situation. Also, there weren't medical professional people in the wings waiting to, like, you know, and I don't know, not everybody feels like that all the time. And some people are like, oh, I'd like to dress like a boy right now. I have plenty of women in my life who are actually like, what do they call it? Cis women who I've spoken to this about. And we all admittedly have gone through what they used to call a tomboy phase, or still like to dress masculine, whatever that means, and then the men can't be feminine. We're a mess. Leave everybody alone. Love each other. Stop being so fucking uptight about everything. And this is what leads me into this other topic of my listeners sending in things. So thank you, Cece, for the Elliot Page story. Now I'm gonna flow on into Justine's question about the fear of vulnerability. It wasn't really a question. It was just a topic, fear of vulnerability. And that goes back to us being, acting and dressing and being who we are 100% and making other people uncomfortable about it. Because why? Well, I wonder, you know what I'm going to say, because they're afraid of being vulnerable, because vulnerability is fucking scary. And vulnerability isn't taught to us. It isn't shown to us very often in our families. A lot of us, unfortunately, grow up with people who were abused and fucked with when in their childhood. So now they're abusing and fucking with us in our childhood. So there's no vulnerability. You know, even for my people, like, they, I mean, you know, I talk about my mom all the time on here. Jesse, stop. I won't stop, Mom, because, you know, you preach this whole hippie, everybody loves everybody, but then no one was vulnerable and they weren't kind to themselves and they weren't kind to each other. And everyone thought, you know, oh, free love and we can fuck anybody we want and it's all good, it's all okay. And like the women, I speak to them now, these older women, and they, a lot of them say, most say to me, I didn't really like that part of the whole movement. I didn't really like that part where it was just like, oh, now we have a pill that'll keep us from getting pregnant, so we're just supposed to want to fuck a whole bunch of people. And also, back then, still not looked at like, oh, look at her with her freedom and her sexuality. No, they were still shaming us, which, you know, so if you're going to be shamed and you're going to be made to feel badly, then you're going to not want to ever be vulnerable, because vulnerability, whoo, that's a scary part, right? Because then we open up and like, you know, even for me to tell you all the things that I tell you, if I ever meet a listener, which I have, and I thank you so much for taking me to lunch or dinner or coming to a show or whatever you happen to do to get in touch, I am so impressed and I feel so blessed and lucky because they get vulnerable with me ASAP. There's no like getting to know you, getting to know your vulnerability. No, it's them telling me straight the fuck out some of their hardest, deepest, most vulnerable parts of their life, because they know I'm an open book over here, y'all. I'm an open book over here. Okay? So let's all try to get a little bit more vulnerable. It's like Cat Williams talks about, you know, being hard all day. Like, you got beef with eggs? You know what I mean? Like, you want to fight with eggs? Like, you, like, calm down. Like, not even in the morning, like, you're going to have just egg. Just have a calm egg, you know? Anyway, thank you, Justine, for that delightfulness about vulnerability. And I think that goes, I think that can spread all the way across this whole menu of notes today on this show. And guess what? It goes, I'm going to push it right into the story about the South Korean flight where the man, last week, where the man panicked and opened the fucking door in the flight, on the airplane. This gentleman, because he said he felt like he was trapped, he felt like he was having a bit of a panic attack, a bit claustrophobic, so he fucking opened that door, you know, the emergency exit, whilst they were in the air. Do you know this news story? I was freaking out so hard, and I'm like, what the fuck? And it was a South Korean flight. And so I was like, what were people doing on the flight? What were people doing? Oh my God, what were people doing? So thank you for letting me be me. I can only be me because y'all let me be me. So thank you for my thank you. So this South Korean flight, mid-flight, man opens door. They're in the air. Now, I go to look at the video because I can't believe that this happened. I mean, it must have happened some other times. But remember when the guy, when they landed and the guy opened the side door and then he put the, it was the flight attendant who did it. This was a passenger. And all I could think of was, you know, in the beginning of a flight when you get sat in the emergency exit row and the flight attendant comes over to you and she goes, or he goes, are you sure you're equipped and ready to deal with that seat? Because in case of emergency, you could help us, you know, with whatever our procedure is. And you have to say yes. You have to say yes in a kind of excited way, even, because I've watched people, flight attendants, put people out of that seat because they didn't have enough zhuzh when they talked about, yeah, of course, I'll be here. I'll help the people. So I watched a lady flight attendant talk to this man. Sir, will you help in case of emergency? You are in the emergency door. So you have to make sure, we have to make sure that you're going to be responsible for it. And he looked at her and he went like this. He blinked. Like a long blink. Like, whoa, a long blink is never a good blink. A long blink is, that's attitude right there. Don't give our flight attendant attitude. Oh, she was like, sir, you will be moving seats now. Like, she did not. Anyway, this South Korean man, he opened up the fucking, so I'm looking at the video, and the first thing that struck me, there was no bird in the, anyway, but the first thing that struck me from watching the video, y'all, was that no one was saying anything. Talk about vulnerability South Korean. I don't know a lot about Korean culture, but I do know enough to know is the Asian folks that I know have told me in the past, very quiet. There's a quiet, you stay fucking quiet to shut the fuck up. So I was thinking, you know, how quiet and lovely were all these passengers, these other passengers on it, just holding on for dear life while like everything just like went like fucking squeak, you know, and they were just, and their lives were in, okay. They were in a very scary moment, so I was thinking, okay, what would if this happened in America? Are you kidding me? The first hand on the emergency exit door, someone would have gotten up, some machismo fucking white man, I see your hands on the door, not on my watch. You know what I mean? Like everyone's ready and attack to attack. So I can't imagine that the door would have even gotten open. Say this was a flight from, Kentucky to Georgia. I don't even know how far that is. This is how American I am. I don't even know. So from California to Florida. Oh, there's going to be some crazies on there. So imagine that that's the flight and someone tries to open the door mid-flight in the air. Oh my God, they're going to get attacked. There's going to be people attacking them. There's going to be videos of it all over the internet. Not on my watch. You know, all kinds of vigilante cowboys running over to the area, right? Anyway, this leads me into my next topic of discussion from the beautiful and talented Peggy. Have you sharted? Would you have sharted at this plane door opening in mid-flight? Have you sharted? Would you tell a friend that you sharted? Have you sharted in public? When was the last time you sharted? Is it a shameful, is it smarted? Is it, should you be ashamed of yourself? Is it something that just happens? Is there food involved? Maybe there's a stomach bug going around. I don't know. All I know is Peggy wanted me to tell you, you don't have to worry. Don't be embarrassed. Everybody shits their pants. And sometimes it's an accident. And sometimes you're just feeling a little lazy. So thank you. Thank you, Peggy. Abu, I want to say thank you for sending over such a lovely and it's a little deep, I got to say. When you lose loved ones, which we all, I know, unfortunately have experienced. And if you haven't, as a Buddhist, I say, I hope you do soon. Because, you know, the Buddhist practice, if something really unfortunate happened or is happening, they say, congratulations. Because you can't work on stuff unless you're in it, you know? Like, I was talking to my friend the other day about relationships, about intimate relationships. See how I get nervous? I start touching my hair and futzing with myself when I talk about intimate relationships. Because talk about vulnerability. Talk about sharding. Ah, intimate relationships. Oh, dear God. Love. Losing loved ones. Trusting love, allowing yourself to fall in love. And really, this applies to family. This applies to pets, neighbors, relationships, friends. And so the spirits have spoken. You know, when you talk about heavy stuff, sometimes things move about, and then you just saw it move. I suggest getting present as possible. Getting as present as possible when you see people, when you talk to people on the phone. Allowing yourself to be present. Maybe put the phone away when you're at a party. Maybe when you're about to talk to a loved one, a family member who might be difficult to talk to, but you know they're getting on in age, maybe have a couple minutes of quiet breathing before you make the call, just to get yourself calmer. Because it's not easy to lose loved ones, but it's harder to know once they're gone that you didn't take full advantage of loving them while they were there. And that's the loss. So if they're still around, even if they're hard to deal with, we make the choice to kind of safely and with boundaries and calm with ourselves, making sure that we've taken care of ourselves first, whether that be get a little snack, get a little nap, get a little breath work in before you go to the house or before you get on the phone with them, whether it be a family member or a friend that you're having a difficult time with. But I think it's harder to hold the grudges. It's harder to hold on to the anger. It's harder to, like, I have a friend who is very angry about someone else's success, which, look, I also get that way as well. I'm not above petty anger. I'm not. But this is one of the things I'm practicing, is not being angry at people who are legitimately having not easier time of it regarding success, but an easier time of allowing themselves to be in places where they could be successful and being positive about the people around them, whether or not they agree with their stuff. And I mean, like, as a comedian, if I see someone's name in a credit on a show that I really enjoy, but I don't really enjoy that other comedian for some odd reason, I need to continue watching the show because it's just ruining it for me. Does that make sense, you guys? Does that make sense, you humans, you witches, you warlocks, you lovers? We're only hurting ourselves by cutting ourselves off. And if you feel lonely, make a call. If you feel like you're not getting the social time that you need and the people aren't picking up their phones and the people aren't getting in touch and reaching out, you reach out. I do it. Talk about sharding and vulnerability. I do it, and I do it practicing with this idea of, you know what, everyone's scared, everyone's nervous, everyone feels like they can't get vulnerable, everyone's afraid to love, everyone's afraid to lose. Might as well just try our best, you know? Might as well just fucking try our best. And I talk a good game, sure. Here, you see me. I love you. You love me. We have this lovely thing that we do every week, and I practice all week long the things that we talk about here. That's right. That's right. Okay, I only have a couple minutes left, and I had so many other things for you, but I'm excited to push them into the next week. Because as we get into the summer and closer to the storytelling show that I'm producing and going to host and be telling story in, Coney Island Museum, June 25th, 7 p.m. It's going to be awesome and epic. And so summertime stories. So for the next few weeks, I'm going to be telling some really good summertime stories. And I hope that you will write to me and tell me what stories you'd like me to talk about. I just want to end with this. You know how I like to do a review of something that I've been watching for the week. And while I was doing the play, I really wasn't watching TV much. And I also only have one streaming service, of which I don't like to mention the names of anymore because we're on strike right now. So I don't tell you the name, but I'm going to tell you a show that I watched that I was hearing about for the last few years that I, you know, again, it's that tough Gen X thing of like, oh, it's cool. Oh, it's trendy. I don't want to fucking watch it. Oh, everybody likes it. I'm not going to fucking watch it. You know, and so instead of being so tough, instead of being so upset, I let myself be a little vulnerable. That's right. You can be vulnerable with TV shows. Who knew? And I started and I ended a week away. I was staying at someone else's apartment and they had all the streaming services. And so I watched Ted Lasso. I see why everyone loves it. I really enjoyed it. I see it incorporates all these things that are very formulaic for us Gen Xers and millennials, and yet they work. The things work, and they made me happy. They made me sad. They made me think. They made me. I didn't want to like it because I'm punk Gen Xer who wants to rebel against anything cool and trendy in this. And I'd like to take responsibility. And I'd like to say that I, you know, like, we hate that tattoos are trendy. We hate that dyeing hair is trendy. We hate that fucking. All that shit is trendy because why? Because now we can't tell who's really cool. And I only say that because, yeah, have you seen these fucking Republicans with blue hair? I'm like, never again. Never again. Anyway, Ted fucking Lasso. A couple of the things that I really loved about it. The older boss woman, Rebecca. I don't want to say she's older. She's probably my age. But that they had a woman in her power, in her fucking hotness, sexy, so hot and sexy and independent and strong, leaving someone, being on her own, doing her own thing, also fucking a young man. Ah, yay! I love a show that shows you the real deal with that kind of, like, a mature woman and a hot young guy. Oh my God. Oh, thanks, Obs. Appreciate you. So, Ted Lasso, I get it. I totally get it. Now, as I said, I binged the whole fucking thing. So I might as well have done heroin all week because all I did was binge this fucking television show. And I have to say, I'm going to talk a little shit. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I'm going to talk a little shit. By the third season, I'm glad it ended because you got to get the fuck out of it. It's enough already. And it was like, cue the music. You know what I mean? Like, oh, here's another lesson from Coach Beard, you know, in his weird and strange way. And here's another lesson from Roy Kent, yeah. I did enjoy listening to English accents. Kayla, but all the Gen X referrals that you could ever imagine. It was very much like, because the guy who did it also did Scrubs, so it was very similar to Scrubs, which I love Scrubs, so funny. So Dr. Cox, you know, he was a real cock, but it's so like banter, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, it's folksy. So I get it. But by season three, I was like, I'll fucking kill all of you. And so you should never want to say that to an ensemble cast. Ensemble. But I did. So what have we learned here today? We've learned losing loved ones can be really hard. And you may have to be a bit vulnerable for a while to do that. And that vulnerability is even harder. And trusting that you can love a pet, love a person, love yourself. And yes, we have to take the chances. And yeah, people die, things die, everything is impermanent. So sometimes it's fucked up. But then sometimes it works the other way and you go, oh my God, that was impermanent. That thing that was making me uncomfortable or the thing that I was afraid I was never going to be able to do. It all works the same way. So really nothing's good, nothing's bad. It's all fucking just is. Bam, bam, bam. You know, mindfulness is always important, so let's keep it up and be mindful that it's not just a month. Pride is always, women are always, Black and brown, Asian always, Native American always. So let's just always be mindful of folk, other folks. We don't know what they're going through. Everybody's probably going through something, you know? And let's just make sure that we take care of ourselves. Take a couple deep breaths before you go anywhere that you know is going to make you a little tense, or before you get in the car. Have you watched Beef? Anyway, we're going to talk about some summertime stuff next week. Please, please, I beg of you, and I love you for doing it. Those of you who are sharing this show on your socials, I appreciate you so much. Those of you who've gone into the Apple, iTunes, Apple, yada boo boo, and done 5 stars and a review for me, I appreciate you so much. These are free things that you can do to support me and my work, and I appreciate it. Also, you can always Venmo me a little dough. I always put the Venmo and the Cash App in the show notes. And you know what I like to say to you at the end of these things? Don't suck a dick you don't like. Don't lick a puss you don't like. Don't do anything you don't like. You know, that's really the basic gist of the whole thing. Keep yourself healthy. Keep yourself calm. If you need to fucking get away from everybody, get the fuck away from them. Just take care of yourself. And that'll lend you to take care of each other. And that is what we need to be doing. So all year, all the time, for the lifetime, happy Pride, happy ladies, happy trans, happy everybody of the brown, black, indigenous, Asian. I'm just saying all fucking a trans. I fucking love you so much. Who doesn't love love? And you know what? I got an idea. Share this show. Tell people it made you happy, made you think, made you feel good for your week. And maybe, just maybe, I can be up and popular like Ted Lasso was. I use fucking references. I'm a Gen Xer bitch. Chickens. Love you. Besos. So many besos on your booties. I love you very much. I'll see you next Tuesday. Please have a fantastic week and take good care of yourself and each other. And share the motherfucking show, Gangsta Lean. You're so cute. Bye.